had a chance to talk with Angie earlier on today, and she shared that a little bit about what God is doing in her life. I'm not going to embarrass her, but she said, you know, one of the things that God is working on with her in her life is listening to His voice. And how often we just rush through prayers and give God our list of everything that's on our minds and in our hearts, and then we leave. We say amen, and then that's it. And what Angie brought as an observance this morning from her time, I think you were in the car, were you? And she said, I had told God everything and had said amen, and then God spoke and said, Angie, you mean everything to me. We don't get messages like that from God unless we're listening. And that really is a good introduction to the third and final in this series called Listening for the Resonance. We're listening for God's perfect pitch, listening for God's divine truth, listening for His voice, and instead of us expecting that He would change to meet us, we must strip ourselves of the sin, confess, and allow Him to cover us with His grace so that as the perfect pitch of God rings, we come into tune with Him. This message is different from the last two in that in the last two we've talked about listening. Listening for the resonance. And when there is dissonance, observing what it is in our lives that is different from the true ring of God's holiness, asking for forgiveness, confessing that sin, and having Him cleanse us and renew us so that we can ring with truth like He does. Amen? But today is different. Today we have an active role in prayer. And so the last two Sundays we've talked about listening for the resonance. Today we also listen for the resonance, but we also have a job to do, and that is intercession. When I got into this topic this week, it was about Friday, and I realized there is so much more here than I can ever even scratch the surface of. So what I'm going to talk about this morning is one dimension, one aspect of intercessory prayer. If you were to take a diamond and turn it around in the light, you would get a flash and a flash and a flash as the light would hit the different surface areas of the diamond. That's what we're doing today. We're hitting one surface area of intercessory prayer. The message this morning is entitled Intercessory War Prayer. And I trust the military illustrations will not distract you, but will help to gain a good picture of what intercessory prayer is. Philip Yancey, in his book on prayer, tells of a young American soldier in Iraq who learns that his wife back home has advanced cervical cancer. Doctors gave a bleak prognosis. In his desperation, he sent an urgent email to his church with the request that everyone in turn forward his prayer via email to everyone so that everyone could be praying for his wife, everyone they knew. The email said, pray and then forward. It only takes a second to hit forward. Please don't delete this. Your prayer can and perhaps will save her life. Please pray and ask everyone you know to pray for the healing of Cindy, the removal of the cervical cancer in her body so that she may enjoy all that life has to offer and continue to be a wonderful mother to our 5-year-old son. Yancey goes on to ask, does prayer operate like a pyramid scheme? The more people who pray, the more likely the answer. Does a sick woman who happens to have praying friends stand a better chance for recovery than an equally deserving person who does not have all those friends? Intercessory prayer is one of those subjects that the more we think about it, the more we have to change the way we think about it. The more we have to change the way we view praying for others. Somehow, real intercessory prayer is more than saying, "I'm praying for you." Can you hear me all the way back? And I believe if there's something that is missing in the church today, specifically our church, is intercessory prayer. I take responsibility for that because I have not talked about it. I guess I assume that everybody knew about it. And believe me, I have a lot to learn about it myself. Intercessory prayer. It's more than saying on Facebook when someone shares a need, praying for you. Not that that's bad. It's just that intercessory prayer is so much more than offering prayers on behalf of someone who is in need. Intercession is by nature. Intercession is by nature where an individual positions himself between two parties, one with the need and one with the answer. And the intercessor seeks to bring the two together. Like a strong defensive line of blockers defending their quarterback, or offensive line of blockers defending their quarterback so he can run or pass, so is a team of intercessors taking some of the hits in order to protect the one in need. So the will of the coach is brought to reality on the field. The word intercede in Latin means to go or pass between. So intercession is an act by which an individual positions themselves between two parties, one with the need and one with an answer. Let that sink in for just a moment. In every battle, there is a clash of values. As Christians, we are engaged in the battle between good and evil, holiness and sin, heaven and hell. Just as Christ laid down his life on the cross, spanning the gulf of sin that separated us from God, so is the work of the intercessor. Jesus is our advocate. He is our intercessor. He intercedes for us on our behalf into the ear of God. Amen? If it weren't for Jesus interceding for us on our behalf and laying his life down for us, we would have lost the battle. Amen? Sin would swallow us up. We'd still be in the pit destined for a sinner's hell. Let me give you another definition. An intercessor serves as a bridge between God and others. Now, I use this as an illustration, and at every point, at every illustration at some point breaks down. So bear with me. As Christians, each of us are involved in the struggle against sin, but each of us has direct access to God. I'm not invalidating that biblical truth, but what I am saying is, the Bible also teaches that those of us who pray and lift each other up and lift others up have an incredible role that functions as an intercessor, as an advocate before God on behalf of the person we are praying for. An intercessor is like a wartime bridge between God and the soldier, making communication and understanding the will of God more possible. Pretty amazing piece of equipment, isn't it? That bridge lays on top of that tank transit, and at points when the terrain is too rough for vehicles, a bridge is made. Intercession is like a bridge that makes transport of supplies, equipment, and communication to the war front possible. An arsenal available to the intercessor and the soldier is the very creative power of the Redeemer and Judge of the universe. You see what I'm saying here? When we intercede, we build a bridge. We become a bridge making possible communication, supplies, wisdom, knowledge of God into the life of the person that we are praying for. An intercessor prays in resonance with other believers who join in the church and join with the church who is also praying in resonance with the truth of God, the will of God. He is our commander in chief. As we hear from him and we build a bridge between he and the person who is in distress, and maybe perhaps even now you're thinking of people in your life that are in distress and in need of prayer. Perhaps God is calling you to fulfill the role of an intercessor in their life, an absolutely life-saving role. Tom Eliff, in his book, A Passion for Prayer, makes a point about intercession that I believe most of us miss. And that is the major focus of the intercessor is finding and cooperating with the will of God. That's what we've been talking about for the last 2 weeks. Listening for the resonance. You see, it's not that the role of the intercessor isn't that we need to come to God and bring the need to him, because he already knows the need, right? Primarily, we minimize that, but we maximize coming to God and getting ourselves right before God so that we become a conduit of God's will passing through us. We become active in bringing the kingdom of God to earth through our life. I don't know about you, and maybe I've missed it all these years, but to me, that's groundbreaking. This is the truth, this resonance, being in touch with God, listening for his truth, listening for his voice. For me, this is what I've been wanting to share for the last several months. And I hope it rings true for you. And I'll be honest with you, I'm struggling with words to express it. I spent a lot of time this week on this sermon, probably twice as much time as I usually spend on sermons. It's because for me, this concept is so new and fresh that I'm struggling with words to describe it. The intercessor's role is prayer and action. The intercessor's role is prayer and action. Two Christians were running from a bear. One said, "Let's stop and pray." The other said, "Let's run while we pray." The intercessor's role is prayer and action. Prayer and doing the will of God. Can you hear me all the way back? Listening plus expression plus obedient follow-through equals intercession. There's a equation there I want to give you. I want you to write it down. Open your bulletin. Put down my takeaway for the day. Maybe you want to write this down, maybe not, but it's important. Listening plus expression. So listening for the resonance of God. Listening for the divine truth, the ring of truth, the divine holiness of God, plus expression. Expressing the need. What is it that your friend, what is it that your mother, what is it that your colleague in school, what is it that your brother, what is it that this person in church needs? Listening plus expression plus obedient follow-through equals intercession. That's what I've learned in the last few months. I've not read that anywhere, but that's what I've learned in my time with God and in my time in prayer. Let me say it again. Listening for the resonance of the truth of God,
brings our lives into conformity with His. Our life rings with the same frequency of God as God. Expression, expressing the need. What is it that we're bringing to God? What is it that's so important that needs God's attention? What is it that's got this person on the edge of life and death? And then obedient follow-through equals intercession. I don't know about you, but I have always thought that intercession was just expression. I missed the other two. I've tried to illustrate that truth by the use of the theme listening for the resonance, because I believe that's one thing that we are missing, particularly me, one thing that we miss when we pray is first listening to God, listening for Him. An intercession, an intercessor prays to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth. Do you realize what that is? May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As Jesus was divinely interceding for us on our behalf, He prayed for God to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth. So when you intercede, you are asking God to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth in the life of the person you're praying for. Can you hear me? This is huge. It's mind-blowing for me in my understanding of what prayer is. The intercessor goes to God on behalf of others who are on the battlefield, believing that God has the solution to the problem. God's will is the solution to the problem, and God will bring victory through the truth. That's what the intercessor believes. That's what the intercessor is willing to lay their life down for. That's why they're willing to invest time and energy when there's a million other places that that time and energy could go for. The intercessor believes that that through his prayer of agreement with God, as he prays, he will become part of the solution. I hope you're getting this. I mean, it's clear in my mind. Lord, help me. And Lord, when I don't have the right words and I don't have the vocabulary, please make it clear to the people who are sitting here today within the sound of my voice, watching the live stream. Lord Jesus, I pray through the ministry of your Holy Spirit that you would do the communicating. Lord, don't let us miss this. When we as intercessors pray, we hear from our commander-in-chief and follow his orders. You see, one of the things I think that we have misunderstood about intercession is I'm somehow, as an intercessor, outside of everything, and I'm looking and watching what's going on with this person, and they're on the edge of life and death, and so I'll pray a prayer, and I'll pray that the Lord will help them, and I'll pray that God will send some kind of help to them. And what I'm saying is, what I'm learning is that God wants to send help this way. Now, he will send help. That's another facet of the diamond, this way. But I'm also saying that the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. What does that mean? It means that as I listen for the resonance and I make an expression to God and then I follow through with obedience, I become part of the solution. Amen? I become part of bringing the kingdom of God to earth. I become part of the solution as an intercessor. I'm a part of bringing the kingdom of God to earth. It is less about us coming up with some creative solution that God hasn't thought of yet. Rather, it is about listening for the resonance of God's truth, aligning ourselves with it, than living out His truth in full confidence that His will is the answer and His will and truth will prevail. Amen? As we pray, we listen to our Commander-in-Chief and we receive our orders and follow them by aligning our will to His. That's why it says the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. It doesn't say the prayer of a casual follower is righteous and effective. It doesn't say that the prayer of a unrighteous man still reaches the ears of God. It doesn't say that. It says the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. It means we're part of the solution as we obey. The intercessor then, having prayed for God's will to be done, lives out the reality of this kingdom of God in his everyday life. And the people who are in need begin to see, here is the solution to the problem that I am facing. Let me give you some scriptures, examples of intercessory prayer. They're going to just come at you like boom, 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 boom. Let's read them. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So many times we get into a conflict or a perceived conflict with an individual, and we begin to get all tied up in whether or not this person is going to agree with me, whether they're going to stay or bail or whatever. The Apostle Paul reminds us that our battle is not against the fleshly part of who you are and who the person is that you're in conflict with or whatever. You see, James says, what is it that produces fights and quarrels among you? Isn't it the greedy desires in and of yourself that come out, you kill and you can't have, and you steal? And James points to a inner struggle that is a spiritual struggle. And it's important that as we move through our lives, we are identifying it for what it is. It is a spiritual struggle. And all of us are growing, amen? And I apologize for the times that I'm not grown up enough to make life easier for you. I really mean that. There's times that I know that my spiritual immaturity has made life difficult for you, has made life more challenging for you. That's when you pray for me. And for the times that you've made my life more challenging, I pray for you. Amen? I'm not against you. You're not against me. We're growing together. But our struggle's not against each other. Let's identify the enemy for who he is. The devil would seek to drive us apart, and we will not let that happen. Amen. 1 Timothy 2:1 says, first of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers and petitions and thanksgiving be made on behalf of everyone. James 5:14 says, is anyone sick? Then he must call on the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Church of the Nazarene believes in divine healing. We believe that God uses the hands of the medical practitioners, the doctors, the physicians, and we also believe that sometimes he just heals us. And sometimes he doesn't. But we do believe it is the role of the intercessor to pray. Amen? Jeremiah 29:7 says, seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will have welfare. That's huge. There's a whole sermon right there. That means pray for the person who has you in captivity. In some kind of bondage, in some kind of captivity, in some kind of constraints that that you feel you would really love to be delivered from, pray for them. Because as you pray for them, your welfare is delivered. That's big, isn't it? Jesus said, pray for them who despitefully use you. I'm telling you, this is crazy stuff, isn't it? Luke 22:32, but I have prayed for you, Simon. This is Jesus talking to Simon Peter, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. Even the Apostle Peter needed prayer. Boy, if he does, don't we? Amen. But Jesus in Luke 23:34 says, he was saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. I think I gave you the wrong reference, Brad. I'm sorry. As Jesus was on the cross, he prayed, and we know the verse, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus was interceding for the people who were crucifying him. Acts 7:60 says, then falling on his knees, he, Stephen, crying out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And then he fell asleep. Stephen was being stoned, the first martyr recorded in the New Testament. And his last prayer was a prayer of intercession for those who were throwing stones at him, putting him to his own death. An intercessor prays in resonance with the will of God on behalf of someone who is either unable or unwilling to pray for themselves. 2 points there. An intercessor prays on behalf of those who are unwilling or unable to pray for themselves. I love this story in Mark 2:1-12. It's the story of four friends who bring their friend to Jesus. Let's talk about it for a moment. An intercessor prays for those who are unable through injury or illness, whether that injury or illness be physical or emotional or intellectual. An intercessor brings their friend to Jesus. Here is a man paralyzed, and his four friends do something about it. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home, so many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And as he preached the word to them, some men came bringing him a paralytic, carried by four of them. And since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they went up on the roof. They made an opening in the roof above Jesus. And after digging through the roof, they lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, Son, your sins are forgiven. Who brought you to Jesus? They interceded on your behalf. They dug through the barriers. They made a way so that you would know Jesus. I love the faith of these friends. Son, your sins are forgiven. Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking and in their hearts. And he said to them, why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat and walk? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. And he got up, He took his mat and he walked out in full view of them. This amazed everyone and they praised God. We've never seen anything like this, they said. The action and prayerful attitude of these friends as they brought their friend to Jesus is a beautiful example of one who intercedes. They brought their friend to Jesus when he could not get there himself because of a disability, because of an injury, because of some problem that they were faced with. The intercessor goes and gets them and brings them. Amen. You have neighbors that need to be interceded for. You have family that needs to be interceded for. Go and get them and bring them in. Amen. They brought their friend to Jesus when he could not get there himself. During misunderstandings, times of fear, residual baggage from the past, we need intercessors to petition heaven for the answer. Then live out the answer. Listen for God's solution. Express what the need is. Then go in active obedience and do the will of God, bringing the kingdom of heaven to earth. And then there are those who are unwilling to pray themselves. And we have all been there. We have all been at one point unwilling to come to God. And somebody interceded for us. Somebody prayed. Somebody saw the situation we were faced with. Literally, it's a situation of life and death. And we were stuck in our former life. We were unwilling to come to Jesus ourselves. Hardness of heart, unyielded to God, prideful. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 1 through 7. The Lord said to Nathan, you remember the story, Nathan was David's good friend, King David. King David went out on his deck one day and he saw a beautiful woman by the name of Bathsheba bathing. She was fully unclothed while she was taking a bath, and he said, whoa. And he sent one of his servants over to get her, and he brought her back and they slept together. And actually he used his kingly power to have his way. And they bore a son, and you remember how that all went down. But David's still cruising along, unwilling to admit his pride. And Nathan knew that somebody needed to intercede on David's behalf. Somebody needed to confront him. Somebody needed to say, David! So here's what he read. The Lord sent Nathan to David. When he came to him, he said, there were two men on a certain town, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb he had bought. He raised it, he grew it up with him and his children, and it shared his food and drank from his cup and even slept in his arms. It was like a daughter to him. Now a traveler came to the rich man, but the rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep or cattle to prepare a meal for the traveler who had come to him. Instead, he took the little ewe lamb that belonged to the poor man and prepared it for the one who had come to him. David burned with anger against the man and said to Nathan, as surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this deserves to die. He must pay for that lamb four times over because he did such a thing and had no pity. Then Nathan said to David, you are the man. Not you're the man, but you are the man. It's the role of an intercessor. Had David
not repented, Nathan knew that David could die in an unrepentant state before God. And an intercessor intercedes on behalf of individuals who are in such a condition and a state. Hey, sometimes the truth is painful. But for David, he repented. Second Peter 3:7-9 says, it is not God's will that any should perish, but that all should receive eternal life. You know, in our pride, we can look at a world that is lost and dying and going to hell and say, you know what? They're getting what they deserve. They had an opportunity to repent, and they're still out there messing it up, making stuff more expensive for me, creating more stuff for me to go through in my life. But that does not reflect the values of Christ. Pray for those who despitefully use you. Pray for those who are still stuck in the sinful patterns and lifestyles that are still wreaking havoc in your life. The Bible reminds us to pray for them. And do more than pray that lightning bolt will go strike them. It's to pray for their salvation and pray that they will find repentance and the grace of God and the same free salvation that was freely bestowed on you in the time of your sin is freely bestowed upon them in their time of sin and need. Pray for those who despitefully use you. Pray for those who don't like you. Pray for those who hate you. Pray for those who are making life more difficult for you. Be an intercessor, amen? Boy, if that doesn't shake you up. Shaking me up. Just when I had everything all put in place, the Lord reveals new truth. New to me. In addition, the intercessor prays in concert with those who need support and also joins with those who are already praying and need reinforcements to know that they're not in the battle alone. An intercessor says, I'm praying for you and I'm praying with you, as he joins other intercessors in the battle. Exodus chapter 17, verses 8 through 13. I love this. The Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands. So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered, and Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the mountain. So you've got the picture. Moses is here. The Amalekites are kicking the Israelites around on the battlefield, and Moses says, I am going to advocate, I'm going to intercede for my people. And he lifts the staff in the air, and God begins to bring victory to the Israelites. He's got his staff in the air. As long as Moses held his hands up, the Israelites were winning. But I'm telling you, even 5-10 pounds over your head after a course of several hours will break you down. Whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites started winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. So he was sitting down, and then Aaron and Hur came beside him and held up his hands. One on one side and the other on the other side, so that his hands remained steady until sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. An intercessor lifts holy hands to God, shares the strength that he has from God with the one who's in the battle. This is how we move ahead as a church. We don't move ahead by picking at each other. Amen? We move ahead by lifting each other's hands
because we get tired. And the battle is long. But we must lift each other's hands and come beside each other and support and join in the intercession, because our battle is not against flesh and blood. This is a battle for the souls of mankind. It's a spiritual battle. And we must join together to lift each other's hands up. Amen. I need you to lift my hands up. I'm counting on it. I'm human. I get tired. I get frustrated just like you do. I get weary. And then I wonder, you know, am I any good? Can I do anything? And I need you to come beside me and lift up my hands. If we grow as a church, if we are to grow as a church, it will not be through clever outreach campaigns or even great sermons. It will be through the body of Christ working together to get the job done. Each supporting the members of the body as each member of the body does its part. Amen. An intercessor prays from a fully surrendered, fully sanctified heart, allowing God to lay the need upon them. And God uses the surrendered willingness, uses the surrendered willing vessel as a fully mobilized agent who is effective in communicating the truth of God. Oh, if we don't get this, we might as well go home. Because we can't do the work that we're called to do unless our hearts are right. Until we are prayed up and mobilized, we will be paralyzed by a loss of power. A church that doesn't pray doesn't have any power. A Christian that doesn't pray doesn't have any power. You may be able to move heaven and earth on the business field, but for things that really matter, the souls of men, powerless. As parents, our first prayer of intercession is for our kids, our family. Nobody knows your kids as good as you do. You know their strengths and vulnerabilities. And may your kids know that you are praying for them. I leaned on the prayers of my parents and grandparents for years after I entered the ministry. As my grandparents died, I really did feel that there was a layer of my armor that had been stripped away. You ever had somebody come up and tell you, "I'm praying for you," and then they pray for you right there? Man. Oh, all right. How much more? I told you, I'm only going to get to half of the facet this morning. Some practical points in intercessory prayer, and along with every one of these points is a coinciding action that the intercessor is busy about bringing into being as he prays in the resonance of God's will. So, Brad, I'm going down to point one.
skipping a page here. Make a prayer list of the people that you are praying for. Be diligent. Be sensitive to God's leading. Take the time to put yourself in the shoes of the person you're praying for and sense their heartache. So make a list. Number two, pray for the church and the leadership of the church. I wonder what would happen if everyone here began praying fervently that God would begin to work powerfully in our labor for Him. Pray that our ministries will reach our neighbors and the world, and pray that we would represent Him well in our community and around the world. Pray for the church and our leadership. Pray for our country. I know this is hard to do because there's so much going on in our world right now. There are so many things to pray for. Pray that our leaders will be wise and moral in Washington. Pray that God will bring to His people, place them in positions of authority and leadership. Pray that God turn this nation back to Him. Pray for our missionaries. Many of our missionaries are folks that feel like they're all out there by themselves. These are particularly true of the people who are in creative access areas. We don't have groups of people that go in and make it and clear the way for a missionary. The missionary goes in and starts clearing the way. He may go in as a doctor. He may go in as a teacher. But slowly, beautifully, the Lord begins to work through those missionaries. Pray for those who do not know Christ. Pray specifically for those that you know that are apart from the Lord, that God will touch their hearts. Pray that God will pursue them and not leave them alone until they come to Him. Pray for opportunities to share your faith. Pray for the right words. Pray for the Holy Spirit to bring conviction and produce faith to believe. Number six, learn to pray for God's will to be done. I don't mean just say the words, "Thy will be done," but I mean we need to really desire, then set about doing His will, because we know that in doing, it brings completion to our faith, it brings life to our faith. James says, "Faith without works is dead." When we pray, we must realize that we don't have all the information. We don't see the big picture. We don't even realize everything that we do need to see clearly. That's why we minor on bringing God creative solutions on how to fix a problem. I guarantee you, He's already thought of it. We pray, "Lord, may Your will be done on earth through me as it is in heaven." We need to be persistent in what we decide to take on in prayer. I want to stress again, it's easy to get discouraged, and sometimes we fail to see results. Richard Foster said that when we begin praying for others, we soon discover that it's easy to become discouraged at the results, which seem frustratingly slow and uneven. This is because we are entering the strange mix of divine influence and human autonomy. God does not overrule an individual who is still asserting their will against God. Look for God to act in the situations. Make a list when your prayers are answered.
The struggle here is not whether or not God wants to and is capable of fulfilling His will. The struggle is whether or not people will lay their lives and their wills down and agree with God about the situation. Worship team, would you come on up, please? Coming in for a landing here. Trying to figure out where to put the landing gear down. To intercede for others means to live in agreement with God by staying close to Him in prayer and lifting others up. Others will then hear the resonance, the beautiful tune, the beautiful sound of the truth of God being lived out, and then seek to do something about the sin in their life that's only causing pain and aggravation on the senses. As we intercede for others in prayer, we join in the battle as we yield to His Lordship. Oh, there's so much more to be said here about intercessory prayer. There's other facets of prayer when God works directly to deliver, where one person is praying in Illinois and another person is praying in Texas, and then God answers a prayer in Africa. It's part of intercessory prayer. It's like, God, I feel like I didn't even bring about that. I didn't even make that happen. God says, no, you didn't. That's where we come to pray the prayer of faith, believing that somehow my prayer will make a difference. Amen. Matthew 18:19, agreeing together, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. And finally, James 5:16-18. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Elijah was just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. I believe God has just given some people some jobs to do, myself included. He's given you a commission to be an intercessor. Would you receive that commission? I don't know what it looks like specifically in your life, but I know that in my life, the first thing I think about is, Lord, I don't have the time. And it's true. None of us have the time to do this unless we take some things out of our lives that are less important, that don't matter for eternity. But this does, amen? I'm so glad that my mom and dad interceded for me when I was still being carried by mom in her womb. They dedicated me to God on the road out in front of the house after I was born, out on the gravel road. They interceded for me before the devil had a chance at taking me. I had to turn to God myself, but I knew I had praying parents who were interceding
to God for me on my behalf. We pray for, Jeanette and I pray for our kids every day. We pray for our parents every day. It's our first mission field. We pray for you every day. There are individuals, circumstances, scenarios, situations that come across our radar, and we know you're going through it. And we realize what's at stake. We are praying for you. Let's move ahead together in this new, for me, new light that God has granted in my life to be an intercessor, because I never understood it before. I really didn't. I didn't understand what intercessory prayer was. I figured if God already knew what the answers was, why does He need me to say anything? What? I don't get it. Lord, I'm sorry, but I just don't get it. I'm learning. I'm getting it now. I love the hymn that we're about to sing. It is a hymn of affirmation and faith. It was a favorite of my grandma Patches, which is my mom's mom. Yes, her last name was Patch. Isn't that neat? And I never sing this song without thinking about her. She was one of my intercessors. After Jeanette and I were married, she prayed for us as we got through school and prepared for ministry. And after we went to our first church, which scared us to death, she said, "Now, I have been praying for this for years. I have prayed that this first experience will be a good one, that it doesn't hit you so hard that you'll be knocked out for the count." Boy, I leaned on that. I leaned on her intercessory prayers for me. And there were some rough days there, but they were good days, and I had a lot of growing to do, and I grew. But it didn't kill me. I thought it was going to, but it didn't. I can't tell you how many times I leaned on her intercessory prayers, just knowing she was praying for me.